If you want to turn to your Bibles, please, to John, the 10th chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. John 10, 7, 8, and 9, our text this evening. John 10, verses 7, 8, and 9. And then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, this is a very basic and elementary doctrinal teaching. Jesus is the door to the sheep. Mainline denominational churches, by that I mean like the Anglican, the more Orthodox Lutherans, they believe in Jesus, but a lot of them believe in baptismal regeneration. In other words, you're baptized, that's what makes you saved, or you go through a catechism and that makes you saved, you join the church. This is a fundamental teaching of the Bible. If we miss this, we miss it all. And let's just go back to verse 6 in our text, and we'll see that this is actually the second time that Jesus is teaching this very thing. Verse 6 says, And this parable spake Jesus unto them. If you go back to verse 9, you'll find he was speaking to the, or chapter 9, excuse me, you'll find that he was speaking to the Pharisees. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So this is a reiteration of something that Jesus has just taught. It's not redundant. Is retaught because it was unresponsive on the part of the Pharisees. They did not respond. They did not understand what Jesus said. Unfortunately, when people have their minds clouded by some other doctrine, it's an impediment to grasping the truth. A lot of times, the cloudiness has to be dispelled before truth can truly be seen. And so Jesus is attempting a second time to bring this teaching to their understanding to bring them help. They needed help. Chronologically, this is roughly about 6 months before the crucifixion of Christ. So time is running out. Time for the Pharisees to borrow a modern term is the time for the Pharisees to get it is running out. And so they need it a second time. So sometimes when something is preached again, or, you know, and you've seen it, I've seen it here, you know, an evangelist comes in, preaches a message, somebody else preaches a message, and it's the same message brought in just a different light. It's not to bore the people, it's not to turn them off. It's to bring instruction. God does not do things twice to irritate us. He does things twice to wake us up, to alert us to situations and circumstances that are about us. So the concept of God's people being sheep, as it talks about in our text, it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door to the sheep. This was not a new concept to Judaism. In fact, the Jews were very well acquainted with that, and we'll just read one verse to basically verify what we're saying. They were keenly aware of the fact that God's people were sheep. If you want to turn to Psalm chapter 79, verse 13, we find that that the psalmist understood this, and we could go through various passages that basically parallel this, but so we, thy people, And sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. So the Pharisees and the people Jesus was addressing were acquainted with the concepts. They were acquainted with the concepts of God's people being sheep. This concept is, you know, everybody that's saved understands and been saved for any period of time, reads their Bible, knows that this is a very well-established doctrine. We are the sheep. God is, you know, Jesus is our Lord and our Master and our Shepherd, with, thankfully, God called under-shepherds to feed us and to lead and guide us. You know, without that, just like any other animal, any domesticated animal, they perish without someone attending to their needs. We raised slaughter cattle and we had pens full of cattle. If we didn't feed them, they would have died. They were corralled in, they had nowhere to go. They would have perished without our attending them. And so that's how it is with livestock. They need to be attended to. And we as sheep need to be attended to. There's no place for an independent attitude. Well, and I hear it, and I cringe just about every time I hear it. I'm subject to God and God alone. Really? You know, the Bible does say be subject one to another. When you hear that, that's false teaching. That's false doctrine. The problem is, I've heard it from ministers that have said this, I'm subject to God alone, this independent attitude. Guess what happens to their ministry? They don't survive as Church of God congregation because it's false doctrine. It's false teaching. You can't build the Church of God on false teaching. False ideas. And charting our own path. We're going to chart our own path. Well, I'd rather follow the Savior. It's by far the safer route than charting my own path. You know, I did that in a life of sin. What a wreck. You know, we can learn something, what not to do, from a life of sin, or observing others in a life of sin. I ain't never doing that. Pardon my bad English. There is a safe place, and God help us. We are not to chart our own paths. See, one of the problems people, or the Pharisees had, and people have with the Pharisees, and I hear it all the time, is, well, the Pharisees, they were these fanatical ultra-conservatives. Were they? That's the way it's taught. You go over to Matthew chapter 19 and you see how the Pharisees confronted Jesus on divorce. They weren't ultra conservatives. There were two schools of thought in Judaism, one of Shammah and one of Hillel. They didn't line up with the conservative side, they lined up with the liberal side. So they weren't ultra conservatives. What they were was they just liked to chart their own path. They loved to make rules to accommodate what they wanted. That's what the Pharisees were. So when they wanted to be, they were conservative. When they wanted to be, they were liberal. They did what they wanted to do. We face the same thing today. Wanting religion, just the buffet style, the way I want it. You know, it is not within our domain to take God's law and mold it to our liking. It is in God's domain for us to correct to God's liking, to adjust and to submit to God's law. We do not have the right. In fact, Paul put it this way, I'm a servant, or that word slave, to Jesus Christ. In other words, I basically have no rights of my own. You know, it's very interesting. We talk about rights, and a lot of people talk about rights today. I have my right. Very interesting thing happened when I was still in school. I don't know what grade I was in, but anyway, we were somewhere, a bunch of us guys, and a police officer said, you, I want you in school, and he set the date and the time, and I can't remember. You guys are going to get fingerprinted. So what? There, everybody showed up. Everybody, you, we all showed up. Only one guy whimpered a little bit. Well, they're violating our rights. They couldn't have done that legally. Legally, you have to have reason. We had one guy whimper. I didn't even bother telling my dad, bringing it up to my dad. It was kind of interesting. My dad said absolutely nothing. So I got to go to school such and such a time, get fingerprinted. My dad said, not a word, nothing. There's no use arguing with dad. You're going. The policeman said, you're going to get fingerprinted. You're going to get fingerprinted. Either you're going to clear my name or you're going to pay the consequences for your action. You're not getting away with it. No, that's the way it was in our house. I don't know how it was in your house. That's the way it was. Nobody argued with dad. Nobody argued with the other guys. Didn't argue with their dads either. Well, as it turned out, we found out later there was a rash of break-ins, and they couldn't solve the case, so they brought us in and had us fingerprinted. Yeah, they violated our rights. But I wasn't going to argue with dad over that. He was just, you're going. That's how it was in our house. It didn't matter if we had rights or not. In fact, we didn't really fuss about rights when I was a kid. I don't know if we had any. We didn't learn to live that way. I have my rights, I this, I that. We had to submit, we had to obey. Even if it basically was illegal what they were doing. But what it was is they were trying to solve a case, and if they had explained that to my dad, he said, you're going. It wouldn't have mattered. Anyways, but there's no use fussing with dad. So the Pharisees were of these people that love to chart their own path. That is an extremely dangerous proposition. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Old Blue Eyes. What was his name? Sinatra? I'm going to do it my way. Well, he did. I wonder if he's still singing that song. What do you think? I doubt it. I don't know if he's too happy about that right now. You know, I don't know much about sheep, but I know a lot about cattle. The condition of the cattle, their physical appearance and the condition of cattle speaks volumes about the herdsman. Yeah, if you have these shabby looking cattle that barely have enough strength to give birth to the babies in the spring, that doesn't speak well for the herdsman. We had people like that that didn't care a whole lot about what their cattle did, and the cows sometimes had barely enough strength to give birth to the young in the spring. One was an alcoholic, but I mean, that's not a justification for that. But it speaks volumes. Same thing is true with congregations. It speaks volumes, the condition of the saints, of the congregation. It really does. You know, I think Brother Decker's to be commended for the condition of the sheep of God's acres. Amen? Speaks volumes. Thank God for him. So we thank the Lord. There's a lot into it when it comes to serving God and living for God. Going back to our text in John chapter 10, verse 7 says, And then Jesus said unto them again. So he's reiterating, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the entry into the fold. It's not baptism. It's not catechism. Jesus is the entry into the fold of the sheep. Or the church of God as we call it. And we know it. We thank God for it. So it's not baptism, not catechism, nothing else. He is the entry. It's not Muhammad, Confucius, or somebody else. This is not a multiple way to reach God. He is the only way. Boy, that's narrow and that's bigoted, but it is the truth. And you know what? Eternity is going to bear in mind that every knee shall bow before this King of Kings. He is the greatest individual in the universe. People will bow, whether they be atheist or Mohammedan or Buddha, everybody's going to bow down to this omnipotent King one day. So we might as well do it today. We might as well submit to it today because we're all facing it. There is a time of reckoning to each and every for each and every one of us. So entry into this church is not, it's no Catholicism, it's no Protestantism, it's no humanism, it's no ism at all. It is Jesus Christ is the way into the church. Have you found Jesus Christ? Have you gone through the open door? Have you made your calling and election sure? Or are you just kind of dragging along on the coattails of somebody else? We're reiterating this tonight because it is of utmost importance. That we know that we are saved. You know, to come down to the end of life and not know you're saved is terror. I've seen people in terror, just completely beside themselves. That is not a wise thing to do. You say, well, every excuse and reason we have for neglecting our salvation, they'll be so empty and so void at the judgment day. Every excuse, every reason will be so empty on the judgment day. Throw it overboard. Say, I'm going to serve God. Why not do it tonight? Make your calling and election sure. First of all, do you understand the concept, what we're talking about? Jesus is the way in. There is no other way in. Come to him. Confess your faults to him. Accept his atoning sacrifice for your sins, and he will come in. This isn't that difficult. All we have to do is overcome the ego, most times. Just surrender it and stop rising up against it. You want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2. Through the end of the chapter, I believe. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There is no other way. It is narrow. And it does sound bigoted, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. There is no other way. We can't dream of a better way. We can't think of a better way. Somebody else can't tell us about a better way. He is the only way. He is the only access that we have to the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Are you alienated from God tonight? Is there a separation between you and God, like Brother Jeremy talked about the prodigal son the other evening, Wednesday evening? Are you alienated from him? You can change that by simply coming to the altar and laying it all down, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom all that building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The church is a place, a habitation where God dwells. God dwells among his holy people. He delights to dwell in his holy people. Are you one of them tonight? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your way? Or are you alienated from him? You know, the cure has been found. You know, there are a lot of sicknesses and disease they're casting about and spending tons of money on research. We don't have to research this thing. We don't have to wander around looking where the cure is. The cure is here. The remedy is here. Do you want the remedy tonight? God saved people is where God dwells, and thank God for it. You know what? That's where I want to stay. I'm not wandering about looking for something else. Looking over the fence and, well, what's he got? You know what? When you're in good pasture, you might as well stay in the fence. You know what happens when you crawl through the fence? You're going to rip your pants. Stay in the fence. A little bit of humor, but it's happened. Stay in the fence. Amen. I appreciate God. I appreciate the salvation that he's given me. Back to our text. We're not going to hold you too long tonight, but I just... This was the message that I believe God placed on my heart, and the simple fact that it was the second time that Jesus was telling it kind of puts a little earnestness and an importance and an intensity to the service, doesn't it? There's a reason what we feel the burden to make sure and to present it to you, to make sure that your calling and election is sure tonight. Make sure you leave this building saved. We are not guaranteed another opportunity. Make sure you're saved tonight, my friends. Verse 8, all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Do thieves and robbers break in and leave $100 on the table? Who's ever had that happen? They leave a microwave on the counter just in case yours breaks down? Is that how thieves and robbers operate? They take anything that they can. Clearly, Jesus is not talking about the prophets. When he says all those that came before him, he's not talking about the prophets. I mean, that's obvious. Thieves take. Thieves are takers, not givers. It is really not that difficult to distinguish between a thief and a non-thief. Thieves are takers. Amen? They take. All that's in it is me, me, me. What's in it for me? They're takers. Thieves are takers. I mean, that's not rocket science, right? Spiritual thieves rob God of the most valuable commodity known to man, salvation. oh, it's going to be all right. Somehow it'll all work out. You know, you went to church, you give this, you get whatever. Do you know Jesus tonight? That's what's going to matter at the judgment. Doesn't matter how much money you give to the church. It doesn't matter. What you did, but, well, it does in the sense that your works will, you'll be accounting for your works, but I'm talking about working up salvation. Have you accepted Jesus Christ tonight? Spiritual thieves will rob you of the most valuable commodity known to man, salvation. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The door of salvation is still ajar. As long as you're breathing, as long as time is, the door is open. You need to get in, and get in now. If you're not in, you need to get in. This isn't a game. You know, this isn't a dress rehearsal where you get to do it better the next time. This is it. Get in and get in now. The last scripture is John chapter 5, Bibles. A little bit on the heavy side, but we feel the burden. Amen, Brother Mike? Amen, we feel the burden. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That word means judgment, but is passed from death to life. Is your life changed? Has God changed your life tonight? Have you allowed God to change your life? Take possession of it, take control of it, and make something beautiful out of it. What God makes is beautiful. What we make is a disaster most times, but what God makes is beautiful. A changed life starts right here with what we do with the message tonight. A changed destiny starts right here. Don't live to regret the decision. Make it now. You know, we talk about all the sin in our world. You know, sin is everywhere. People don't know what gender they are. Some people think they're a cat. Meow. We had a restaurant up there. This teenage girl came in and the waitress took the order and that's all she did. Meow. She had ears and the tail. And crazy. Crazy. Well, the waitress was bewildered. Well, meow. What does that mean? Well, I think she wants lemonade. I know a girl that works in this restaurant. I mean, crazy. This is off the charts, crazy. Our world reeks. It stinks. And that stink is going to reach heaven one day. And God's going to move. Get in while the door is open. If you are not saved tonight, get in while the door is open.